Pastor Candy Christmas of Regeneration Nashville, and I'm so happy to have this time together with you today. If no one's told you they love you yet, I want to be the first. I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, if I have a topic for this podcast, it will be the wrestler. The wrestler. And you can probably already surmise that we're going to be talking about Jacob who wrestles with God. But as I was studying this podcast and studying my notes, I went back in my mind to when I was a little girl. And I lived in Louisiana, and my dad pastored a church there. And we had a professional wrestler come maybe about once a year or every other year. And he was very strong. And so, course, he would tear the phone book in half, or he would take a horseshoe and straighten it out and show his muscles. And he was this wrestler, and I'm not really sure which was his proper vocation, if he was really a preacher or a wrestler. I guess somehow they mixed the two, but we were spellbound as little children looking at his big muscles and seeing him rip that phone book. Now, mind you, I lived in a little town called Bastrop, Louisiana, Bastrop. So the phone book wasn't very big, but to me, when I was a kid, that was just amazing that he could do that. And crowds would come from everywhere. And he would preach the gospel and win souls, and we had powerful revival services. But he was a wrestler. He went on, I think, to the professional realm and went by the name Billy Graham. Go figure. But I remember that when I was studying this, talking about the wrestler. So I just finished a book on the life of Joseph by John C. Lennox. And if you get a chance, it's just called Joseph. Lots about Jacob in this book, and I highly recommend it. And right now, I'm in the midst of a book called Genesis, the Rational Bible by Dennis Prager. And so much about Jacob, I do highly recommend it. But I just want to start, I want to pick up Genesis chapter 47, and we're going to start at verse 5. And just to set this up where we're starting, Joseph has revealed his identity to his brothers, and he said, "Does my father yet live? Go and bring him to the land of Egypt. Leave everything that you have behind. The best of Egypt is yours." And so his brothers went back and had to admit to their dad that Joseph was still alive. So they bring Jacob to the land of Egypt. And there's been a wonderful reunion between Jacob and Joseph. And it's just wonderful. But now Joseph wants to introduce his dad to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so this is where we're going to pick up in 47 verse 5. And it says, "Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, 'Your father and your brothers came to you, the land of Egypt is before you. Have your fathers and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in Goshen. And if any of them have any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen of my livestock.' Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, 'How old are you?'" And this is what I want to highlight. "And Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The days of my years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days and the years of my life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage.' So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from Pharaoh." So think about it just for a moment, because Jacob says this. He says, "The days and the years of my pilgrimage are 130, few and evil." He's looking back on his life, and he immediately begins to talk to Pharaoh about the struggle of his life. And he doesn't call it a life or a blessing or talk about his possessions, he begins to talk about the evil, the struggle of the years. And I found it so interesting because everything that Jacob ever wanted, he received. He received the birthright from Esau. He received the blessing from his dad. He received livestock and great wealth and honor and preservation from the famine. Their family was preserved and brought to Egypt. He's reunited with his beloved son, Joseph, whom he thought was dead for 22 years. And now he's living under the protection of Egypt's government. But he talks about the evil of his years. Pharaoh says, "How old are you?" And he doesn't recount the victories. He recounts the struggle. Jacob sees the struggle, but God sees the covenant. Jacob doesn't say, "My life has been 130 years." He says, "My pilgrimage, my sojourning here." And so, meaning I'm a traveler. And sure enough, most of Jacob's life, he has been a traveler, and he's lived in tents in the desert. Even after receiving the blessing, Jacob never reviewed his earth as home. You know, when I was a little girl, we used to sing this song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Do you remember that? "My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And that's where Jacob was living, actually, because the more he was blessed, the less connected to the earth he became. Hebrews chapter 11, 13 said, "All of these died in the faith and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Isn't that funny? I also remember an old song that says, "And the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace." Faith does not remove the pilgrim mentality. The more Jacob gained, the less attached he became. Do you find that? I find that in my own life. Recently, I celebrated a milestone birthday, and I'm not going to tell you which one. But my children were gathered around me. My son said, "Mom, how does it feel to be this age?" And I said, "Well, it feels wonderful because, you know, when I was 40 or 30 and I looked at this age that I just turned, I wondered, you know, what my life would be like, my health or, you know, my family situation, where I would be. And I can tell you that living for the Lord gets richer and sweeter. The life with the Lord gets deeper and fuller. And I'm not talking about possessions. I'm not talking about anything like that. But the presence of the Lord and my walk with Him and my confidence and my trust in Him has made life so sweet. And, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, a car to drive or a home to live in, all of that. I'm not saying I'm not thankful. I am. But your focus changes because, I'll say it again, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So I kind of see where Jacob is coming from. So Jacob's life was blessed because it was wrestled. He wrestled. Many people want Jacob's blessing without the wrestling. And I can tell you that if you live very long in this world, you're gonna wrestle. You're gonna have to fight the good fight. Jacob wrestled with Esau. The Bible says that even in Rebekah's womb, this is Genesis 25:22, but the children struggled. They wrestled within her, and she went and talked to the Lord about it. Why is this so hard? They struggled. He wrestled with Laban. He wrestled with Laban over Rachel and Leah, and he thought he married Rachel, and he got Leah in the dark, and he woke up on his honeymoon morning, and he's married to the wrong. It's a wrestling. It's a struggle. Life is, but nevertheless, the presence of God, when you're blessed, when God's hand is on you, the wrestling is but a light affliction. He wrestled with fear. Genesis 32:7, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He wrestled with the grief of losing his son Joseph. For 22 years, he believed that Joseph was dead. That's Genesis 35:16. He wrestled with guilt over what he had done to his brother. And when they met up again, he bowed to him as a servant in guilt over how he had supplanted and tricked, deceived his brother Esau. He literally wrestled with God. So let's go to Genesis 32:27. It says, so he said to him, what is your name? He wrestled with a man at the ford Jabbok, and he's about to meet Esau. And the angel of the Lord comes to him, and he says, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. And he says, your name shall no longer be Jacob, deceiver or supplanter or heel grabber. He said, but your name is Israel, for you have struggled with God and with man, and you have prevailed. Literally, the word Israel, the name is Israel, means to struggle, to wrestle, to wrestle. Have you noticed that the wrestling, in the wrestling comes the power? I can tell you that it's not the mountaintops, it's not the successes. Again, I'll go back to my birthday. My family was sitting around me, and my daughter asked me, she said, you know, what are the greatest, like the three greatest days or moments of your life? And she said, you can't talk about wedding day or the day that your children were born. What are the best days that you've lived, moments that you remember? And so it took me a moment to think about it. And I didn't really say what she thought I would say. And she said, well, what about this award that you got? And what about the night they honored you here with gospel music and all that? And I said, you know, I mean, I appreciate that, but those things were not important to me. It's family. It's God. It's the move of the Spirit. It's the richness, the wealth of the blessing of the Lord on my life. The things that matter most are not the things that are seen. It's not awards. Sometimes it's on the other side of the wrestling. Sometimes it's on the other side of the long nights praying or the long season of the dark night of the soul. When you've prayed and you've fasted and you've yearned and you've longed and you've knocked and you've sought. And finally, when the dawn comes and you've wrestled, then that's where the Bible says, and joy comes in the morning. So the name Israel means one who strives, contends, or prevails with God. The father of the covenant nation was not named victorious, you know, muscle, power. No, wrestle, because there is a wrestling. Ephesians 6:12 says this, and you know this passage of scripture very well, but it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. So it says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but it does say, but you do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. So we wrestle against darkness, but sometimes there's a wrestling with God, a yielding to His will, a bowing to His way. Jesus said, not my will be done, but yours be done. If there's any way that I won't drink from this cup, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And I can tell you there's a wrestling to bend and bow to the will of God. I want to read you the New Living Translation. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. This is NLT. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in high places. Boy, that brings it into perspective, doesn't it? There's a wrestling against darkness, but many times there's a wrestling within us too, a wrestling with God. God has built his nation on a man who learned how to hold on through the night. And I just want to encourage you that if you're in the dark night of your soul, continue to hold on. Hold on to God. Continue to wrestle. I can look back on so many places in my life, so many times in my life where I've been in a dark night of the soul. And when joy comes, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I just want to encourage you that joy is on the way. Hold on, hold on. So the Bible says here that the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. This is Genesis chapter 32, verse 31. He halted, so he limped on his thigh. After he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord touched his thigh and he walked with a limp. He may not have walked very straight and he didn't walk very strong. And he halted upon his hip. But I want you to know he was walking the path of God for his life. I can look back on my life and times that I wrestled with the Lord, and I've come out with a limp. I'm not as confident in some ways in my flesh as I used to be. But I came out leaning on the Lord. This is one of the great paradoxes of the Word of God. Abraham becomes fruitful when he's old. Moses becomes powerful when he's broken. Gideon wins the battle with fewer soldiers. It doesn't seem to make sense. Paul becomes strong through weakness, because 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 10 says this, when I am weak, then am I strong. The limp becomes the evidence that he had met with God. And I can tell you, our limp is our evidence that we have prevailed with God, and that we've been changed by the power of God. And no longer do we have confidence in our flesh and our gifts and who we are, but we have confidence now in Him. Some victories leave scars, but I want to encourage you, don't allow the struggle, don't allow the dark night of the soul to take your joy, because Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How can you struggle? How can you wrestle and win if you don't have the joy of the Lord that is your strength? Incidentally, that word strength is the word maoz, M-A-O-Z. It translates to this, fortress, stronghold, or place of protection. So I just want to kind of wrap it up with this. I just found it so interesting. I have read this passage over and over, and actually I taught on it in a recent Bible study, because Jacob, even though he limped, even though he wrestled, even though he said his life had been a few days of evil, watch this. The hidden truth is that Jacob then was blessed. And the Bible says that when he came in, he blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh began to talk to him, and before he left, he blessed him again. There was a blessing. There was so much in the heart and in the spirit of Jacob that he has enough blessing to bless 12 sons, Joseph's two sons, and he blesses Pharaoh twice. He is so full of the power and the anointing of God. I think of Psalm 23 that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." But he says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." So I've gone through the valley of the shadow of death. I've gone through the dark night of the soul. And now that I've come through, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. So it's not just that I have enough anointing to bless myself. Thank God for the blessing. But now I have enough to spill out on other people. And so here is Joseph. He's struggled with God, and he's prevailed, and now he's Israel. And there's so much blessing on his life that he is blessing the head man, the king of Egypt. And so I love this, because Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7 bears this out. It says, "Without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." So in other words, even though Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, if I could say it like this, he was still the lesser of the two. Why? Because Jacob was the wrestler, and he came out with the power of God. And so the greater blessed the lesser, who was king over all the land. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that wonderful? I want you to know that God is doing something in your life, in your anointing, in the wrestling with God. I'll read to you Romans 8. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," Romans 8, 18, "are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Isn't that powerful? And so we see Jacob, he's mentioned again in Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the hall of faith, the hall of fame, here in Hebrews 11, 21. And it says, "By faith, when he was dying," so he's passed all the struggle and now he's dying, "he said he blessed each of his sons and Joseph, and he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff." This man went out in power and anointing because he prevailed with God. He wrestled with God, and he prevailed. So I just want to tell you, if you're in a wrestle, if you're in a fight, stay in it. Stay in it and prevail with God. Hold on through the night. You know, I may have told you this little story, but I like it, and I'm going to tell it to you again because it really proves my point. There was a school teacher, and she was wanting to teach her children, her classroom, about metamorphosis. And so she brought this cocoon into the classroom and left it there for several days so that the children could watch as the butterfly was formed and would break free from the cocoon. And so sure enough, as the butterfly grew, he was outgrowing the cocoon, and he was struggling and flapping his wings and trying to break loose. And one morning, the school teacher came into the classroom, and all the little children had not gotten to school that morning except one. And she was standing over the aquarium, and she was so happy. And she told the teacher, she said, "I helped it. I helped it." And the teacher said, "Oh no, what did you do? What happened?" And she said, "He was struggling and he was flapping his wings and he was trying to get out. And so I broke him open and I got him out." And the teacher said, "Oh no, don't you understand? It's the struggle that gives the butterfly the strength to fly." Can I just tell you today that a lot of times it's the wrestling that gives us a strength. I thank God for the mountaintops. I thank God for the successes and all the glorious times. But many times it's the dark night of the soul. It's the wrestling with God. It's the wrestling against principalities. It's the fight. It's the struggle. It's the wrestling that gives us the strength to soar to new heights in the spirit. I just want to encourage you. Hang in there. Hold on through the dark night of the soul. I love you so much. I hope I've been an encouragement to you. I'll see you right here next time.